Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So legislators in Albany got little sleep Wednesday night as they pulled an all-nighter passing legislation on five items: redistricting, pension reform, a DNA database, new casinos, and teacher evaluations. Joining me now to talk about this late-night legislating and why it's making some people angry are Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio and Ken Lovett, the New York Daily News Albany Bureau Chief. Hi, Karen. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
Hey, Brian.
And Karen, you're joining us from Rochester, where the state Republican convention is taking place. Who are New York State Republicans nominating, and for what?
That's right. And I have to just say it's a beautiful day in Rochester along the river, much more like May. Usually in March in upstate New York, it's snowing. So I'm very thankful for that. The race has been somewhat shaken up, but really all they need to do is nominate candidates to run against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Bob Turner, the congressman who won Anthony Weiner's seat and was redistricted out, has shaken up the race. He's gaining a lot of support, and he'll probably be on the ballot. We also have Wendy Long, a conservative party backing, a New York City attorney. We have George Maragos, the Nassau County controller. He was ahead, but he seems to be losing a lot of support now to Bob Turner, including the entire Queens GOP membership. And the Democrats are already out of the box trying to define these people. They're calling them extreme conservative candidates, far out of step with New York values. So the race is starting.
Bob Turner conquered Anthony Weiner's district. Now he's going to try to go after Kirsten Gillibrand's seat. Interesting. I understand that New York will actually hold four elections this year. There's the presidential primary coming April 24th, a separate congressional primary in June, the usual state and local primary in September, and then the general election in November. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I was just going to say June is because a federal judge said that federal races have to be. September is because that was the old primary date, and the Republicans in the Senate don't want to change all of the primaries to June. So you're right, four. It'll be interesting to see if New York voters have the motivation to go out all those many times.
And so Ken Lovett, the election calendar change also explains the timing of this package of legislation. Redistricting facing a deadline earlier than it might have because of the calendar.
Exactly. All this got done just hours before the legislature was supposed to be before a federal federal panel of judges, basically saying this is what we're doing on the state lines. What happened was because the congressional lines had to get done by March 20th, because that's when candidates have to start circulating petitions, they felt the deadline was this week. The legislature pushed to get it done, and the governor, knowing that they had to get it done by then, you know, threw in all these other issues.
And Albany gave up on drawing the congressional maps, Ken. They drew their own Assembly and Senate maps, somehow preserving a Republican majority in the Senate despite the electoral drift toward the Democrats in the state, and despite previous pledges by legislators not to gerrymander and the governor's insistence that he would veto hyperpartisan district lines. Isn't that what we got?
That's exactly what we got, and in a lot of people's minds, the governor knew that redistricting, while a big issue and an important issue and one that the editorial boards like and a lot of the insiders and the good government groups, the general public really doesn't care much about it. They just don't focus on it, and polls have shown that, you know, time and time again. So he used his leverage on the redistricting issue, you know, threatening to veto the lines and send it to a federal federal panel like they did the congressional lines, to get them to acquiesce on pension reform and a legalized amendment to legalize casino gambling and a host of other things. I think he took the risk, the political risk, that walking away from his pledge will not hurt him as badly as getting the successes he did will help him.
And yet, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I agree. He went back. I think it's the first time he really went back on a major campaign promise. But
no, the taxes, he did.
List of all these other things, as we mentioned, pension reform, expansion of the DNA database, the first step to authorize 7 new gambling casinos, the teacher evaluation. So I think he's willing to take the heat from the editorials who have been pretty scathing in their criticism of him kind of caving in on this redistricting thing. But he's a very savvy politician. He pretty much grew up in state government, and I think he knows what's sacred to the lawmakers. And what's sacred to them is their political future, and they wanted these districts, and they would pretty much do anything to be allowed to draw their own district.
And apparently not sacred to the lawmakers is preserving public employee pensions in their current form, because the idea of a 401k type fixed contribution plan was abandoned in this legislation. But the new plan is supposed to save municipalities billions of dollars over the next 30 years, including New York City. So, Ken, the public employee unions were fighting this, but it means what? That future hires are going to have lower pensions than the current public employees in New York State?
Right. Well, what it will mean mostly is that future hires are going to have to contribute more to their pensions. Rather than the 3% that they contribute now, they'll contribute anywhere between 4 and 6%, those making at least, I think, $45,000. That's where the bulk of the savings come from, the contributions. A lot of the major reforms that the governor had sought, like you said, he only got the 401k-type option. He only got for non-unionized employees making more than $75,000. You know, there's not a ton of them. He wanted to raise the retirement age to 65 from the current 62. They agreed to compromise at 63. He wanted to increase the time it takes someone to vest into the retirement plan. Right now it's 10 years. He wanted to go to 12. They kept it at 10. He wanted to do away with overtime being factored into pensions. You know, a lot of times at the end of someone's career, they pile on the overtime in hopes of pushing up their pensions. He wanted to do away with the practice. They really didn't touch that. Instead, what they did was, rather than restricting the overtime, they decided that final pensions would be decided on the final 5 years of salary instead of the final 3 years as it is now. So not major, major changes except for the contribution rates.
Karen, DNA database. Yes. Another interesting thing in this package that was passed the other night, New York already captures DNA from felons. Now I understand those convicted of misdemeanors will be included, too, in those who have to give up DNA samples, except for marijuana possession. And I wonder if that's an acknowledgement that, as WNYC's Elsa Chang did so much great reporting on, there are problems with marijuana arrests in New York City.
Yeah, I think there are. And there was also some talk of legalizing maybe medical marijuana in this bill, but I think that was just a rumor that never came to fruition. But this is another one that the governor said people have been arguing about for 7 years, and finally we got this. The argument is some people who are arrested for misdemeanors also end up doing a much more felonious crimes, and it's a way to get more information on people, though they claim it's not going to be shared with health institutions or anything like that. There's supposedly protections on that.
So if you jaywalk, if you jump a turnstile, I don't know if those are in the same category.
I think those are violations, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the criminal.
A violation is less than a misdemeanor, and so a violation doesn't incur a DNA test. Where's the line, Ken?
No. The jumping the turnstile, I believe, is under it.
I think it is.
Covered under it, yeah. No, the misdemeanors, every misdemeanor now, again, except for, and it's only a first-time marijuana possession conviction.
Uh-huh.
If there's another one, then you are subjected to a DNA test.
Last thing, Ken Levitt, the governor wants more casinos in the state. What did they pass along those lines?
They gave first passage to a constitutional amendment that would legalize up to 7 casinos. They did not in the state. They did not say where they would be. The governor made it clear, as has Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, that they do not want one in Manhattan. Both men in the past have said that they could see one in Queens, most likely at the Aqueduct Racino. But they will decide next year on separate legislation, where they would go and what the rules would be. And under the process, they would have to pass the constitutional amendment that they passed the other night a second time next year and then put it up for public referendum. And there's no guarantees because a lot of lawmakers who passed it and voted for it the other night expressed severe reservations, including several who said they will not vote for it the next time around, that they were only doing it to continue the discussions.
Based on what? What's the biggest reservation?
Well, I think there's just a fear of gambling, the social costs, the addictions, the crime it brings to areas. But, you know, the governor's argument is those are all legitimate and valid arguments, except that we already have, you know, a bunch of Indian-run casinos upstate. We've got, you know, 9 racinos, which are basically casinos, at tracks throughout the state, including in Queens and Yonkers. And you've got, you know, casinos in states surrounding us. It's no longer just Atlantic City and Las Vegas, but also Connecticut and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania.
And the last.
I think you got to wonder when the market for gambling does get saturated, though. One of the things they're really counting on is revenue from these new casinos. And I think that remains to be seen how much revenue they're really going to get in the end.
And the final item in this package of 5 was the teacher evaluation system for New York State, the deal that was actually agreed to a couple of weeks ago, which we've talked about in depth on this show before, so we're not going to linger on it again now.
Mm-hmm.
But in sum, Karen, some people are referring to this whole package of 5 things done in the middle of the night as the big ugly, the annual result of months of wrangling, usually passed just as government is about to shut down or go out of session. Does this qualify as the big ugly, or is it just a little ugly?
Oh, I think it's pretty big, and it does return an old Albany tradition, the return of the all-night sessions, which were gone for about a decade. I think that Governor Cuomo might need to be a little concerned because he talked about that he's going to have the most open and transparent government. And it can be argued that when you pass bills at 3 a.m., 5 a.m., it's not all that open and transparent.
Karen DeWitt, who covers Albany for us and other New York State public radio stations, and Ken Lovett, the New York Daily News Albany Bureau Chief. Great conversation. Very informative. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Be well.